Hello, friends. I would like to finish up pedal number 6, if possible. We've divided it into quite a few programs, which has been uncharacteristic of the way we have thus far proceeded. And we are nearing the end of this document for the synthesis of pedal number 6. So we are here, beginning with Egoic Lotus Webinar Commentary number 46, and this is actually part 5. Now, my colleague added some different categories in here, and I've just been trying to comment lightly on them when it is possible actually to do so. The pedal 6 that we're looking at here has rose, orange, yellow, and violet colors. And we've already commented on the devotion and the discrimination and the conflict and the synthesis which are involved in relation to these colors, respectively. Now, from the Raja Yoga, the Yoga Sutras, we understand there are 5 organs of action, and these are the ear, the skin, the eyes, those are organs of receptivity. The organs of action, voice, hands, feet, the excretory organs, and the organs of generation. Is there anything here that is particularly related? Well, one thinks of the hands and the feet acting in service. One thinks of the excretory organs in terms of the higher correspondence there of being rid of some of the personality aspects which no longer belong and which no longer serve, to detect and to eliminate. The organs of generation are perhaps somewhat curtailed here as one is going into a state where celibacy is sometimes found, and definitely a disciplining on the normal outgoing use of the organs of generation. Many physical disciplines are found here. The voice, to give a voice to the new thoughts which will blend personality and soul, but perhaps not, you know, specifically will it be found here. As a matter of fact, sometimes under the disciplines that are found in relation to this pedal, one also watches one's words very carefully. The organs of receptivity, the ear, the skin, the eye, the tongue, the nostrils, those physical organs or channels through which identification with the tangible world becomes possible. Well, I think this is the time when one begins to listen to the voice of the soul and to be more sensitive, perhaps. You see, really, what we actually have to do here is speak about the higher capacities. And I think we'll begin to do that certainly when we come to pedal number 7. The higher correspondences to these organs of action and organs of receptivity. One is developing a taste for the higher life, and one begins to perhaps catch the whiff of that which will lead one home. But of course, this doesn't really happen in fullness until we reach the approach to the monad. It is idealism which will take one home. Actually, I think that it would be a good idea at this point to look at a treatise on cosmic fire, and we will go here to page 188, where these different senses are discussed, and see if there's anything that stands out to us in relationship to pedal number six. I don't dare have more than two of these open at the same time. Okay, so we're not going to talk so much about the lower psychic powers. I would say, you know, imagination is certainly coming in at the fifth pedal. And there, I think a good deal of emotional idealism at the sixth pedal, because it is a pedal closely associated with the second ray and with imagining or envisioning the soul. Discrimination, I'm skipping the ones that deal with the lower psychic powers per se. An even higher clairaudience, planetary psychometry, and higher clairvoyance can be considered among the lower psychic powers. Discrimination between the soul and personality, most definitely so. Will there be, the next three are related to the higher mental plane, and I think, you know, perhaps not yet. There is some response to group vibration that's coming in, but not a great deal. A spiritual discernment, again, trying to detect that which is of the soul and that which is of the personality. But again, maybe response to group vibration, which is a second ray factor correlating with the sixth petal, maybe is the strongest here. Is there anything in relation to the Buddhic and atmic higher correspondences of these senses? And I think not really. Not yet. We're not far enough along for this to be a major factor. I think I'll leave the alchemical journey to those who are really experts in this. It could be definitely an area of study which is applied to the entire development and unfoldment of the egoic lotus. Suffice it to say that we are attempting to transmute base metal into gold. And there has to come a time when we see impurities in the metal, and to see how we can be rid of these impurities if it is ever to be a higher form of metal. When it comes to the tarot, well, let's see what we have here, actually. I suppose I could put these in, you know. Might be something to do. Let's see. Control-A, yep, we can do that. I can put them in. Why not? Petal 6. And with the tarot, let's see what happens. Only if I go back here in this way will I see them. All right. And now, are there any particular cards? Well, the Hermit stands out particularly. All the trump cards are here pretty much, but some of the other cards as well, and that would be too much of a diversion. But the Fool begins the whole process, and then the Magician and so forth. So really we're beginning right at that point. And the Hermit particularly, I think, one who is beginning to withdraw from the usual preoccupations in life. We might even say, let's say that strength could relate to the Leo petal. And the integration of the Chariot, the integration with which the Chariot represents, could relate to petal number 4. So the Hermit, I think, to petal number 5 and petal number 6, rather. And there is the kind of withdrawal into oneself where one can be alone and more objective about what is actually occurring within one's nature. Let's see if there's anything particular here. Maybe, you know, sort of a pursuing a balanced point of view, a more balanced point of view. But maybe we'll leave temperance until we reach the Libra petal, perhaps. I think nothing that we would necessarily determine as related to this petal particularly. We certainly are trying to overcome the illusions of the moon, which is the 18th card. And I think the star is related to Aquarius, the devil to Capricorn, temperance to Sagittarius, death to Scorpio, the hanged man not to any particular card. But he is certainly learning how to go into the world with at great sacrifice with higher potencies, the potencies found around the area of the head made available to others. The blasted tower, no. So I think the hermit may be correlated with Virgo quite well and be the correct correspondence. All right. Let's see what else. As long as I'm getting a little bit into these factors, which have sort of been included for me. The unfoldment of the mental chakras, not too much to say there. We can say that discrimination is very important here. And we don't have, the Tibetan does not describe the functioning of the mental chakras as he does the astral chakras. So we know that the home of the mental elemental is the sacral center up until a certain point of development. But the higher types of chakras do not exist upon the mental plane while the causal body is there. So I think, we're dealing more with the work within the causal body than we are dealing with the lower types of mental chakras. We have the Eightfold Path, and I suppose I should add as well the Four Noble Truths, which precede the Eightfold Path. So, Four Noble Truths. Suffering does exist. Suffering arises from attachment to desires. Suffering ceases when attachment to desire ceases. Freedom from suffering is possible by practicing the Eightfold Path. So these are the eight means of yoga, but I think I have to find the Eightfold Path and not the eight means of yoga. Okay, a few little things to straighten out, but the last of the Four Noble Truths says that we must follow the Eightfold Path, and the different divisions of the Eightfold Path are given differently in different listings. Anything that we see here related to the sixth petal particularly, well, in a way we can begin to practice all of them. That's all I can say. Our values are changing towards soul values. We're watching our words. We try to live in such a way that soul values will be promoted. We try to think clearly under Virgo and Mercury. We try to aspire to the soul and not towards personality objectives. We conduct ourselves correctly. And let's see, do we achieve that right rapture or happiness? I think we're on the way to that. Other listings of the Eightfold Path: the right perspective, right view, right intention. Well, right speech is a duplicate. And there we begin to be discriminating about what we say. We're really in training here, in training even for the first initiation. Right action perhaps correlates with right conduct, right livelihood with right modes of living. We don't engage in those modes which drag humanity down and do not elevate it. Right effort is a duplicate. Right mindfulness looks like the correct use of memory and the correct use of the mind in relation to that which is observed. And right concentration. So we begin to bring our mental faculties together. When you begin to look at these 16, we can see that depending on what is considered authoritative, there are really, in a way, more than eight. There's nothing here in the second listing about right rapture or happiness, which I assume will be the higher forms of happiness. I think this sixth petal does create the mystical consciousness, and there are certain raptures that one will find in relation to the pursuit of spirit. Now, the eight means of yoga, well, the five commandments and the five restraints, I mean, we're going to be practicing all these things. Let's see here, the five commandments, the universal duty, and that is irrespective of race, time, place, or emergency. And these look to me like internal and external purification. Yes, we will definitely in a Virgo petal be attempting to apply that. Contentment, well, I think we are really aspiring far too much to achieve that kind of contentment, but maybe fiery aspiration is not a contradiction with contentment. I think we will have certainly aspiration. Spiritual reading, to the extent that we can apply ourselves to a soul understanding of the world, and we're not quite there yet. Devotion to Ishvara. And then, so these are the, let's see, the five, let's go down here a little bit. So the five commandments and the five rules are the Hindu correspondences of the five commandments. Okay, so, okay, we'll go further down. Right. So these are actually the rules, when the internal and external purification, contentment, fiery aspiration, spiritual reading, and devotion to Ishvara. These are the rules. The commandments tell us how we must abstain, or from that from which we must abstain. Harmlessness, truth to all beings, abstention from theft, abstention from incontinence, and abstention, I suppose, from avarice. Does it say, the sin of avarice, abstention from avarice. So these are going to be the five commandments, okay? Right. Okay, so, you know, just to be clear, because I think I reversed it at first, the commandments involve harmlessness, truth to all beings, abstention from theft, from incontinence, and from avarice. And the rules involve internal and external purification, contentment, fiery aspiration, spiritual reading, and devotion to Ishvara. So the five rules. Now, you know, in general, all of these are beginning to be practiced in this petal of spiritual discipline. And we may begin our meditation, which involves asana. Whether we'll be practicing pranayama, I don't know, but we certainly are abstracting to a degree from our involvement with personal life. And we're learning how to concentrate the mind. Interestingly enough, concentration is found particularly in relation to Leo, and meditation or dharana in relation to Virgo. And we are not yet to the point in this petal where we can say that contemplation, samadhi, nirvana, and so forth, will be aspects of our consciousness. When it comes to the Beatitudes, you know, interestingly enough, they do come forth from the atmic plane, and they were spoken by the Christ in a state of atmic consciousness. So in terms of the fact that they represent ways of being in the world which are spiritual, they can be in mind, and people who have not yet taken the first initiation can aspire towards these things. Certainly, there is compensation in these Beatitudes for all of the sacrifices that have to be made, and many sacrifices are made in relation to this sixth petal. But I think they, will come in even more powerfully after the third initiation, because by that time, the emphasis is really upon relinquishment in preparation for the destruction of the causal body. Okay. I'm just speaking, just commenting on these things somewhat in general, really. I think one cannot, because each one of these is, like a book in itself or more. All right, let's go on. These are larger descriptions of the commandments and rules, but I think until a person is really taking the spiritual path seriously, these are not going to be an aspect of their work. And now we are beginning to do that. The three advanced themes for meditation, not yet really. The person is not, he's only learning the ABCs of meditation and is not ready for such themes as isolated unity, inclusive reason, and presented attributes. There may be lower reflections. One begins to sense a group unity. One begins to see how things fit together. One begins to do things in the world which are of the nature of service, but not the fullness of what these advanced themes may be. When it comes to the 15 councils, I think, one should look at that, A Treatise on White Magic, and that would be about page 473. And I would say that lots of these will apply. View the world of thought and separate the false out of the true. Learn the meaning of illusion, then locate the golden thread of truth. Control the body of emotion, most definitely. Discover that thou hast a mind and learn its dual use. Concentrate the thinking principle and be master of thy mental world. That's the very first task in the meditative sequence that begins with Leo and concentration. So all these things can be done, and the cleaning out of the atmosphere of thought, and all of these are preparations for initiation, most definitely, and they will apply. I'm going to insert this in the prototype that I use for these things. 15 councils, taking ourselves in hand, etc. Yes, okay. So I will fill those in, and I will make them smaller, because they cover a great deal of space. And let's just say we'll do it number 8. I think that's sufficient. Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, I want to say that these 15 councils are not as simple as they seem. They will, if properly pursued, actually lead to adeptship. At least that's what DK tells us right here in the beginning of them, I think. Yes, these rules may sound too simple for the learned aspirant, but for those who are willing to become as little children, they will be found to be a safe guide into truth, and will eventually make them able to pass the tests of for adeptship. And we'll see whether we can. Yes, some are couched in terms symbolic, others necessarily blinds, still others express the truth just as it is. So these are very important, and certainly by the time we reach the sixth petal, where we are on the well, let's say the working there, we're on the path of probation. When it's actually unfolding to a great extent, we've already entered the path of initiation. But our efforts there to organize and vitalize are placing us on the path of probation. So we're really learning how to control emotion and to act as the thinker and to clean out the atmosphere of thought and to basically speak more and more of the soul. And these rules will continue to be of importance all the way through as we work in the sacrifice petals also there. So they are not simply for those who are aspirants, because if we try to carry this out in the correct way, it will take everything we have all the way up to the fourth initiation. As far as the 15 rules for magic goes, once we begin to really have interplay with the soul, once the soul becomes downward gazing in the fifth petal, some of these can apply. But really, they tend to be rules which are applicable mostly after the third initiation. It's only then that the person can become the true white magician. Before that, he can learn something about the process. And but in terms of really being an effective white magician, no, this is not possible. Let's see here. We may have a few other things to fill in. Well, here are the Sephiroth, you know, and I think that we might as well put them here in petal number 6. Are there any? I think I'll just leave the archangels. You know, it's too huge a study, or angelology is just too huge a study. Which of these Sephiroth are coming into expression? Well, maybe some of the lower ones. We are working at serving in the world, Malkuth, purifying the lunar nature, which is Yesod. Let's see, splendor and victory are here as well. All of these represent higher forms of understanding, and I think can be safely contemplated. The Kabbalah really has so much to do with the wisdom of the previous solar system, we are told, and these days has to be considered a secondary approach to divinity. When I look at Geburah, it looks like strength to me. Tifereth looks like it looks like the sun in its glory, I would say. Let's see what planet Netzach may be connected with, and Netzach, let's see that. You know, I think that might be interesting. There's the world for us at the moment. But okay, let's look at this. N-E-T, Netzach, planet. What planet for Netzach? Can we find something in the Tree of Life? Okay. Okay, the planet Venus. Okay, here, Hod and Netzach. Okay, Hod, I think, is over here. Netzach relates to Venus, and Hod, I think, to Mercury, Chesed to Jupiter, I believe. Okay, so it is Venus. Okay, it's under my Kabbalah. And let's just see, the number 7, that will take us back to that. The Sephiroth, let's see what we will find. Uh-huh, and here we have, well, this, as I say, is the connection with an older system of knowledge. The Kether is connected with the crown. Okay, let's see how far we can go here with this. Sephiroth, the paths, the supernal contact, numerology, the tarot cards. Okay, well, there's some amazing correspondences here, that's for sure. Let's see if we can go on to the next one. It looks like Kether. Well, I think the thing to do is look at find. Let's see if we can find that. Hod. Okay. And maybe it's going to give us something that, well, Maybe not. I don't want to delay too long here. Actually, here we do have it. I think that Yesod is should be connected with the moon, I think. Let's see what we have here. Here is Netzach means Venus. Hod is over here. And I wonder if we're going to be able to find that. Let's look at Tifereth. Tifereth is connected with the sun, most definitely. Geburah. For some reason, Geburah is connected with Mars. Okay. And Chesed with Mercury. I remember that. Tifereth with the sun. Netzach with Venus. And Hod, I believe it's with Mercury. This is Geburah again. And let's see if we find this. Yes, Hod is connected with Mercury. Absolutely. Okay, very good. And we'll go back one, Tree of Life. And this is Uranus. This will be, I suppose, Neptune. Yes, Chochmah connected with Neptune and Bina with Saturn. All right. But in terms of the sixth petal, what really applies? Now that is Saturn indeed. And I think that Mercury is very strong as Hod. Increasingly strong, yes. And the moon has to be understood. The moon, yes, under Yesod. And then Malkuth, of course, to make changes in the world. And there are some correspondences here. Yes, there are many paths. And this is, I say, this is the synthesis of the wisdom of the previous solar system. So we don't want to wander too far astray. Let's just say that Venus is coming into sight as Netzach. Hod is being applied in terms of analyzing the personality and how it must improve. The splendor of the sun, Tifereth, lies on ahead. And that is the soul toward which we are moving. It's interesting, of course, that Geburah seems to be placed above Venus, unless, of course, we're actually looking at the way that the planets are arranged if we take them in sort of cyclic order from the Earth. But even that is not exactly so, because Neptune is farther away than Uranus. Saturn certainly is farther than Jupiter, Chesed, and Geburah is farther than Venus and farther than the Sun, so it works sometimes partially and not others. We'll leave that for future discussion, but I believe that Netzach victory, that's kind of interesting, and that's Venus, interestingly enough. And Hesod is one way of looking at it, but also we have splendor there. So that is the light of Mercury. And here, what I want to do is find a reasonable bracket that I can use. Okay. And I have to give the other name for Hesod, which is Hod. Okay. Seems like some abbreviation of the original term. All right. The celestial orders, I don't think we need to bother with these. Of course, our creative hierarchies are coming into expression. And hierarchy number six are the lunar lords, and they do have to be increasingly tamed. And the moon is the esoteric ruler of the of Virgo, and hence relates to the purification of the personality. And there will be other categories, of course. All right, friends. That is, perhaps our most amorphous section. But interesting, as long as my collaborator, BL here, BL Allison, has given me extra categories, We might as well see whether we can get a few strands of thought to help fill them in. Now we always reach point 80, which gives us some special comments or collected comments in relation to the petal we are discussing, and that is petal number 6. So sacrifice, this is sacrifice petal, it's about everyday life, and we are sacrificing the old way of relating to the life revealed by our senses, by our feelings, and by our concrete thoughts. So we have new content for the moon coming under the esoteric rulership of Virgo. Virgo is interestingly called service of the immediately present. So we do try to be practical when we're under the influence of Virgo, and the sacrifices made have to do with dealing with the condition of the personality as it is. For the great mystics, all of normal life is transformed in the mystical experience. Everyday life becomes divine. It's the beginning of transforming everyday life into something more numinous. And God is here too. So we might say that Neptune, as the veiled, as one veiled, esoteric ruler of Virgo, it's contributes to the growing divinity and numinosity. When we talk about the numinous, we talk about that which shines with a special divine light. So we are learning how to, through concentration and some preliminary meditation here, how to align with our soul in our everyday life. And if we don't do this, if we don't reach this, then we bring up a Virgo theme of sickness, So this involves the practical approach to divinity. And one of our members suggested that at the eighth petal, sacrifice and we sacrifice more of the content of our consciousness. Well, that is certainly possible. There's a very strong Mercury there, and we are giving up a great deal in that eighth petal with no thought of return. So he's saying here that we lose our old will, and life does not conform to what we now want. So we're changing our orientation, and we are using our mind to really do that. Using our mind and not just our aspiration. So we are in between, and so we're not quite there where the will can be applied entirely, and the enhancement of consciousness helps us with this transition. It's really a transition into the entire tier of sacrifice. Well, in other words, we really do have new objectives here. And our objectives are toward the fifth kingdom. So our objectives are towards the fifth kingdom of nature, the kingdom of the soul. And we're, under Vulcan, the soul is beginning to apply its disciplines. We're a bit on the leash of the soul, since we are in training for initiation. And we are being restrained somewhat. Virgo is good for that. Basically, there are many, as we have seen, many, excuse me, many of the signs of the zodiac, which we can connect with the different petals. But maybe there's one that is outstanding, and for me, if we were to begin with Aries at the first petal, we would reach Virgo at the sixth petal, and it would be the outstanding sign in relation to this petal. But I have also described how other zodiacal petals, zodiacal signs, will relate to the accomplishments which must occur in this petal. So the idea here is the will of the personality is exhausted in the fifth petal, and we turn towards aspiration, Of course, the personality keeps on appearing, and there, you know, the personality can get new life, can find new life through spiritual ambition. And that can go on until basically it should be killed by a certain point in the development of petal number 8. So this sixth petal has a lot of points in opposition to petal number 5. Well, just the way Leo and Virgo have many distinctions among them. And Virgo is the corrector of that which was excessive in Leo, we can say. So Virgo is the corrector of that which was excessive in Leo. We're really interested in having the fullness of our personality expression in the fifth petal. Fullness of our personality expression in the fifth, petal. So we're taking many pains, as Virgo does, in preparation, and the will to self-correct is there. This is the will to discipline. And there is pain, says one of our members, the pain of not yet acquiring what we long for. So this is, again, you know, we can call this a petal of preparation. Probably a number of different names can be attached to specific petals to give us the a clearer idea of what they represent. Sacrifice, yes, is a way of transitioning from a lower state to a higher through the relinquishment of that to which we have been attached. We are definitely preparing for entry into the kingdom of souls, and the more advanced souls, maybe more than some, we might say even many, advanced souls find themselves here today. So we're closer to the first initiation, and we're sacrificing the wish for well-being. If you think about the life of the monastery or the convent, where, you know, it's not about luxury, is it? It's not about fulfilling what people are wishing for in terms of their physical body, certainly, and their emotional body. Maybe the mind is more developed, and some of the desires of the mind or the tendency of the mind do become fulfilled in this life of the monastery and the nunnery and so forth. Repeating then what DK had said of the students that he had been teaching closely, that they had all behind them two lives, one of them of complete personality fulfillment and the other, maybe more than one, one or two, taken in a monastery or a nunnery, either in the East or in the West. And then they were fit to be taught with closer contact to the Master. So we are here sacrificing the wish for peace, for well-being, for other satisfactions and fulfillments. And I think this is a very good point, that we, in this petal, we are discriminating between what we need, really, and what we want. Desires are maybe very, very full in the fifth petal process, but there is a difference between what one needs to grow as a soul and fulfill the plan, and what one wants based upon one's personality. There is detachment in this petal. The hermit is becoming detached, and wisdom grows. Well, at least there's a greater attitude of interiority, and one can withdraw into one's own consciousness and begin to meditate, detached from all kinds of influences which might otherwise, in the words of occultism, drive you up and down the land, you know, when you have no stable center. Monasteries. Okay, let's see. What is the... There it is, monasteries. Lots of people in religious orders and monasteries are found here. Also those who are making pilgrimages, you know, and that doesn't mean it has to stop, because after the first initiation and between the first and the second, there's a lot of the factor of devotion. But, you know, going far to find what the soul could otherwise deliver by looking in the outer world. So looking for the guru, for the ashram, and so forth. There's lots of devotion here, and we have to remember that in relation to Virgo, the sixth ray is very, very strong. The second ray is coming in powerfully in Virgo, of course, but also the sixth ray, even though Sagittarius has the greatest sixth ray expression at this time. But the soul is not the same as the outer teacher, and this difference between the inside and the outside has finally to be understood. The angle is 150 degrees. I guess, you know, we could kind of look at that from the starting point of Aries at the first petal and say, by the time we reach Virgo, we're into the quincunx, or as it is called also, the in conjunct, and is an angle of correction, of healing, of adjustment, of taking pains to improve the situation. So a real examination has to be applied here, and we've been talking about that. So this is a big work petal, indeed. yes, and Virgo is a big work sign. So Leo is interested in expressing itself, and let's just say Virgo is interested in working upon itself to align that self with a higher objective. Petal 3, it's also a sacrifice petal, we remember, in the outer tier. It's working for the community, the nation, the family, the business, and we say, this is an important idea, being driven to do so. Here in petal 6, it is a question of choice. So there's a lot of work on the self, internalization. Virgo is an internal sign. Of course, we have to realize with any of the signs, they may have a tendency towards introversion or extroversion, but that doesn't mean that the individual in whose horoscope they are found will necessarily be an introvert or an extrovert. Sometimes when we speak about introversion and extroversion, we do so superficially, talking about people who are quieter or people who are more outgoing. But there is a more philosophical way of looking at introversion and extroversion. And the extrovert is one who is facing towards the outer world, the world of the senses, as if it were real. And the introvert is one who is turning inward to find reality there. So, you know, it's quite possible to be an introvert and still be, you know, rather, I mean, to be a philosophical introvert looking for the answers within and still have kind of an outgoing personality. It's quite possible to be one who is looking for the answers outside oneself and being a philosophical extrovert and still be rather withdrawn. So there are those two levels of introversion and extroversion, and one level is more superficial than another. So work on the self, internalization, more consciousness of how we are working. Yes, it is a more chosen sacrifice, and we realize we have to work to be ready. After the probationary path, the causal body becomes alive in a new way. Maybe no longer just a picture, as it were, but a more animated picture. In other words, there's more solar angelic energy characterizing the egoic lotus. And the path of probation makes this possible. So is there a double tendency here? We're talking about that. A very inward and not very practical in one sense, because Pisces does also rule this petal, but at the same time, you become a more self-centered server. And one of our members thought maybe we even become more self-centered than the fifth petal type. It's like being between two floors and not having a map. Well, okay, interesting. And of course, it's interesting that this individual, quite an accomplished spiritual teacher, had Virgo rising. So he seemed to have a lot to say, and a Pisces sun. So he seemed to have a lot to say about this particular petal. Okay, and possibility of introversion here, self-centered in the introverted nature, intending to serve the world, but not manifesting so well? Well, I think it just depends on, you know, how well the individual is really doing and what raised and what kind of horoscope they have. I think some degree of manifestation could come out here in terms of practical service. It depends maybe on the balance between Pisces and Virgo. It is suggested here that the eyes are not easily taken away from the self as one tries to improve that self. Anyway, from petal six onward, it's all done in sacrifice. We're reminding here of the Tibetans' idea that service is really a lot more difficult than people may think it is, because it involves so much sacrifice of both time and interest. So we have a little bit of a sequence here. Petal four, integrating. Petal five, expressing and aspiring. And petal six, correcting. And we could say, and testing. Now, we went on to another class here. Oh, my goodness. Virgo is related to ordering dinner. Well, you know, some of these comments, I wrote a fair number of them, but I also took down pretty much what people were saying, and maybe we discussed it at the time, but some of the comments were on the humorous side, I think. Virgo is, of course, related to the Deva kingdom and to the angels, and interestingly to the vegetable kingdom, which of which the hair of the human being can be considered a kind of example. Aha, okay, we must have had a wisecracker here, because Coma Berenice's hair is related to angel hair pasta. All right, I don't know. Well, in the connection of the hair with the vegetable kingdom and the vegetable kingdom with the Deva kingdom, we do have a reasonable type of correlation. The group eagerly entered in the special comments section. Okay, I think we got into, you know, discussing who we're actually, how we were eating at the time this class was going on. This was going on in Ojai, California. And we were trying to be correct about our host. And that was because he has the moon in Virgo. Okay, I think we were into some joking here. Anyway, in this petal, preparation, discipline, solar fire is definitely growing through the act of taking pains with the personality which often blocks the solar fire. And the help of Saturn, you know, it seems like such a planet which has so little solar fire to a certain extent. But in fact, Saturn gives the kind of restraint we need of the personality to allow the solar angel to become the sole luminary in the microcosmic life. We are dealing here with advanced man, definitely, and he is intelligently self-critical. I think that's one of the very good things that was said. Group consciousness is growing, but it's not completely there, and, you know, that's how the Tibetan described it. Interested in contributing to the group, being more aware of the group, but always wanting something in return, yes. Learning slowly, so by the time we get to petal number eight, to expect nothing in return. There, you know, Scorpio really kills desire. The moon falls in Scorpio. The moon is the principle of desire and of the tendencies of the lunar vehicles. So, you know, giving everything one has and wanting nothing in return, we are not there yet. But we could say that the fourth degree initiate really expects nothing in return. The heart is the chakra. Heart center is the chakra cultivated in the fourth degree. The solar plexus center here in this petal number six is very alive and awake, and one is, as a result, longing for a higher state. Well, you know, we long upwards and attempt to serve outwardly. It's kind of the Pisces-Virgo polarity. The higher point in the solar plexus is alive because we have higher types of desires. We aspire towards the kingdom of the soul. Some fanaticism is possible. You know, you can't say that in a blanket way because we don't know what the horoscope of people will be. They can be working on a particular area of unfoldment with very different energy systems and rays. But, you know, as you zero in on that which is desirable and in a higher kingdom, it's possible to turn to fanaticism. I'm looking at all these wars going on now and how people are swept into them and how many of the combatants are actually, oh, really fanatical. They have an ideology, you know, and they're laying down their life for that ideology, and they're almost forced to do so. I think they're still working in the outer tier of petals. Whenever there is God only transcendent instead of God immanent and transcendent, or transcendent and immanent, I believe we are still working within the hall of ignorance. Mysticism, yes, can span a great number of lives and years, and I think it gets its start here and can reappear in the petals of sacrifice, and even after there's a lot of mental training, it has to reappear. It is required that the truly balanced initiate of the third degree be both an occultist and a mystic. Maybe there's a little leaning more towards one or the other, depending upon the foundational foundational rays. So, you know, lotuses of preparation, lotuses of purification. I think this is a good possible name for those who are showing work, unfoldment, some unfoldment in the fifth petal, and definite work going on in the sixth petal. Third ray personalities may be found in preparation for the first degree, and also while some work in petal seven is being done, because we are, even when we are working strenuously and abnormally in petal seven, we're not necessarily yet the initiate of the first degree. There is some organizing going on in petal seven before the rod is applied. And that is something that I have tried to emphasize. It seems to be correct to me. You know, I stand to be corrected, of course. But that strenuous and abnormal work does make it possible for some unfoldment to occur in petal number seven, I believe, before the rod is actually applied. So, other ideas here, seeking to mend one's way and to make amends. oh, this is a joke, I guess. Sing to save your bacon, Francis. some of these things, well, maybe they mean something to you. I'm afraid they have slipped my mind just a bit. But you know, if you are involved in a 12-step program, and I'm thinking about, you know, 12-step programs, cleaning up. And there they do require that you make amends with those you have harmed, and apologize properly and harmonize, basically, so there's not going to be any guilt holding you back and nothing that is due to others that will be holding you back. These 12-step programs are so healing and are in the nature of sixth petal work, especially for some people there who are in the throes of spiritual longing. I think it's been said, you know, maybe you've heard this, that the only real cure for alcoholism is religion. Well, maybe we can say the only real cure for it, it's kind of a Neptunian disease, is spirituality. And I know in the AA program, there's a big distinction made between spirituality and religion, and they emphasize the spirituality part. Now, I'm not saying that these are people yet of the first degree. Maybe some of them are, you know, but they're seeking to clear their understanding so they can gain a great hope and faith in their higher power. And of course, this is operative. That higher power is operative during the whole work in the pedals number 4, 5, and 6, the second tier. So anyway, makes you feel great and messes them up. Well, anyway, this is about cleaning up the messes, that's for sure. I'll try to make some sense out of these things. Cleaning up the messes. I guess what this allows us to do, you know, there'll be many people listening or looking at or maybe studying some of these things, and it will be as if they were actually in these classes. I was never able in the classes to go into the kind of detail that I'm able to do here in this more concentrated type of work. So it's going to be over and above what could be done in the classes. There may be some tapes of these classes available here and there, but they will not be as compressed, not as concentrated as the work that's being done here. So I've asked people, do you feel your process is related to the tasks of this pedal? Have you completed them all? And if so, why? And if not, why not? Well, DK often tells us, look, don't fool yourself and think you're on the path of discipleship when you still have so much correction to do, so much cleaning up, as it were, and are really working on the path of probation. Each one of us has to go before the bar of our own soul, so to speak, with our own soul or angel as the judge, and see where we really are. You know, are all of the disciplines the important thing for us, or have we largely worked our way through them, and are we more involved with expressing the divine plan? So one of our number also said, okay, look, you may not be expecting a return, but if the return comes, then appreciation is given and gratitude and all that is good. The masters, I pointed out to people that the masters say, look, we are not ungrateful. And you can see in the way they chose their students, they were often repaying old debts and sacrifices which had been made on their behalf in earlier times. We are not ungrateful. We are not ill-bred, one of the masters was heard to say. The hierarchy will always be grateful, and gratitude is built in. Master Moria has told us that maybe the best fires are found through gratitude. So, going on here, if I am a rich young man and I don't sell all and give the money to the poor and follow the Christ, then what is it that prevents me? He didn't say sell it to the poor. I had made a mistake there. He said sell all you have and give the money to the poor and then follow me. What prevents me? Well, is it the solar plexus center with its desires and attachments, or the Ajna center with its personality satisfactions? The Ajna, in a way, controls all the lower centers from the personality point of view, and later, interestingly, from the triadal point of view. Ajna, I think, can even be connected with the Buddhic plane, the fourth plane. You know, just look at the structure of those chakras, the number of divisions that they have, colors and so forth, and we may be able to tell something about their responsiveness to a higher group of energies. Ajna can be represent the personality, you know, the sort of integrated personality. Ray 1 can be found there, Ray 2, Ray 3. I mean, almost, you know, I've gone through it before, almost all, I think all of the rays can be found expressing through the Ajna center on one plane or another. So the personality can certainly resist the heart, and I think the heart is fourfold in a way. Certainly there are four chambers, and the Ajna is fourfold, and usually there's considered to be an important alignment between the Ajna and the heart. I'm trying to think, 1296, yeah, 960 and 100, and, 960 and 200 would be 1160, yeah. So that doesn't, what I was following there doesn't work out. But, you know, it's very interesting to count the number of petals in the various centers. There's one book that tells us that there's even 96 petals in the Alta Major center, although sometimes it's considered fourfold and kind of like the base of the spine's center, base of the spine's center, as the base of the spine's center is to the body, so the alto major center, fourfold, is to the head. Anyway, personality focus will often prevent us from really entering the kingdom of the soul. Now, the ajna is also related to the third initiation, and that's a very high initiation, and it's involved later in drawing up the kundalini all the way to the head center at the fifth initiation, but the heart center is found at the fourth initiation as the main focus. So it goes beyond the first and personality function of the ajna center. The completely integrated personality, or let's say mostly integrated personality, is reinforced by the ajna center at the third initiation, but the heart center is found active at the fourth, and probably also the heart and the head is coming in at that point. The ajna center can be connected with the world of significance, which is triadal. What is essential is that it points towards the purpose and under the purpose directs the personality. Well, here in this sixth petal, the ajna center is directing towards the spiritual life, not necessarily towards the triad yet or towards the monad. The ajna center is always trying to find the way. It has a strong sixth ray quality to it at times, and maybe Neptune will one day rule it. If Uranus rules the greater head center, then Neptune, the ajna center, and Saturn, the alto major center, sort of the base of the skull, as opposed to the base of the spine. Anyway, pointing towards the purpose as a personality, but one that is increasingly cognizant of the soul, and that purpose ends up being the vision of the soul. So let's just say that at the sixth petal we really do catch a vision of the soul. Okay, what does it say? It took the longest, very revealing, pertains to us to a degree. Nailed to the fixed cross is the first degree. Yes, okay, but we're not quite there yet, are we, when we are working in petal number six. As petal number six is really unfolding, we are there. Okay. Before that, you detach, prepare, and refine, and discipline. Well, all of that has to do with petal six, doesn't it? Petal six, okay? Six petal. Detach, prepare, refine, and discipline. It seems, we're in another class now, it seems that the expectations for the first degree are much greater than assumed by earlier training and reading. Well, in other words, what we're saying here, that the requirements for the first degree are a lot higher than we may have suspected. Okay, requirements. The assumption might have been made because people say, well, I've been over the first degree because I had the intention of seeing the Christ in the heart. Well, that is not, intention is not fulfillment. I think we have to realize that. Virgo prepares. So, intention is not fulfillment. Virgo prepares and is not the consummation of the first degree. So, demonstration is needed. The body will be more or less under control. The heart is opening. We're often, you know, talking about the second degree when we're talking about the emotional body coming under the power of love. The first three petals are controlling the physical body. And here in these other petals, the control of the astral is very, very important, and the beginning of the control of the mental. And the mental control will really be found and exercised under the light of the soul in the sacrifice petals. And this is just a general statement for all of us. DK writes often in compact outline form. At least he says so. And so much of what he has given is compressed and it needs to be expanded. And we really have to ponder, you know, we have a lot of information coming at us, and we have to ponder. I'm very grateful here for the opportunity to speak these books in a certain sense, because what I find is that it forces me to ponder on connections which heretofore have not been dwelt upon with such care. Okay, well, maybe it looks a little, I know a lot of seventh-ray people would throw up their hands at how I'm doing this, and okay, I have to allow them their perspective. They're probably right, and if I had another 30 or 40 years, I would get everything into perfect order and then just go in this way, but now I'm doing what I can to present such connections as I perceive in a somewhat spontaneous manner. In our group a pretty strong, quite strong mythologist. He knew a lot about the ancient Greek and Roman gods and their projections into the medieval mind. And he reminded us that when Dante comes out of the Inferno, it's the start of his Purgatorio. So we're dealing with the crossing of the waters, and we have a vision of the mountain. We land on the shore. Maybe the mountain is not exactly on the shore. We have to travel rapidly through Sagittarius to reach the foot of the mountain, and then approaching it, we begin to climb. So we get the sense of what the whole thing is, and we're given certain guidelines, what we can expect. We're looking forward in this pedal to all that pertains to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of the soul. It's the promised land for us. We add the color rose as we aspire towards the attainment of that vision. Okay, well, here is a technical point. And this is something that I've mentioned before, that we have to learn to discriminate between the petal being fully opened and opened in a new sense, where the tear begins to be something in its own right. It springs open and apart and begins rotation. The tear springs open and apart from the other, from the next tier, and begins its rotation. Okay, so we are in our quest for the Holy Grail here. I guess that a lot of very sincere crusades could have been made under the influence of this petal. It reminds us also of Crater the Cup, which is the Grail. It's the beginning of choosing that separate path, that lonely path, the cave path, you know, in the five colors or so that describe human evolution. After we seize the orange ball of ambition and maybe put it down, because we're not interested in playing anymore, we enter that the long tunnel, the long cave on the way to the cross. So we have done much to accomplish the strictly human stage of development, and now we want something more. Interesting that DK only considers us to be really human when we've reached the third degree. It's only when Mars, which is the animal, is overcome. So I think this is the planet Vulcan overcomes Mars, and then we are no longer the animal. We are the god plus the animal, and the animal has been trained. So sometimes when you look at that hidden planet which puts up a big conflict with Mars, I think it is the spiritual will representing the soul at this stage, which subdues Mars, the animal, and subjects it to its will. So, really interesting thing is, you know, you can't really be human until the fifth kingdom of nature is somewhat infusing us. Well, here we're talking about choice and Libra. You know, it's kind of interesting, the separation of the sexes. Well, this happened back in Lemurian times. Not sure exactly when, but I think before there was individualization or very close to that time. And later on in the monastic training, the sexes are separated again and in a different way. Even the Buddha, when he was looking at his disciples, kept the men in one place and the women in the other. Otherwise, the whole thing would fall again into generation desire and attachment, and they would not be able to separate themselves from their instincts. So we find the Buddha applying quite a severe training to those who were really his students. Now, that doesn't mean that he counseled that all human beings should be that way, and neither does Master DK. We are having some choices here, whether we will follow the path which will lead us to higher and greater possibilities, or whether we will return to the pull of matter. Now, actually, that choice is somewhat operating in relation to the sign Libra, where he says at a certain point we can either go on to the battles of Scorpio, where the soul will definitely win, or we can fall back into the material sphere ruled by Virgo. We come here in this petal six, to love as an ideal. You know, the law of love begins to enter. Selfless love is an ideal, which, however, is not yet achieved. So, instead of expecting the great bounty of the whole, which comes with increasing selflessness, to those who give all is given, we expect something back on the level at which we have given it, and that would be a great mistake. So it is in this petal that we learn to ask nothing for the separated self. Now, you may notice, I think there's going to be more said, starting from petal number 5, but especially with petal number 6, 7, 8, and 9, than was said earlier, and that's because these petals are where we are really experiencing something. This is our life at this time. We are students of occultism, and we are attempting to rise towards our higher potentials and express them. And it's in these petals that we can actually do that. We have decisions which are sort of discrimination between soul and personality, but look at the Christ. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that was his great decision. The sixth initiation, I think, much ruled by Libra. So we're getting from the Christ a prototypical event, which is the prototype of all subsequent great decisions. Our little decisions down on the level of soul and personality may be our anticipations of that which one day is to come. Interestingly, that an angel from Capricorn, we are told, came and strengthened the Christ. Well, we have to find little ways of doing the right thing if we're ever going to measure up to the opportunities of these stupendous events. Excuse me. So then the question arises here, what really have we learned? Well, we've learned about purification in petal 6, about the burning ground. Vulcan, I'm sure, will contribute to that. It's a fiery planet. We've learned about mental critique under Mercury. We've learned how to be hard on ourselves, but really more hard on the not-self. it's so interesting, you know, what do we consider ourselves to be? Well, how are you doing? How are you going? How's everything? And people will often answer in physical or psychological terms, in terms of their mood. But that's all about the not-self, isn't it? So we're learning how to be constructively critical. Let's put it, you know, also destructively, but we don't want that. Learning how to be constructively critical of the not-self. Hard-working people working on themselves for the sake of service and to realize and accomplish what they sense they have not yet accomplished, because they are more realistic about themselves than they realize, excuse me, they have not really attained. They are still personalities in this pedal, not really soul-infused, but they are aspiring personalities, and they are intelligent and creative in their approach to fulfilling the requirements. We become a really conscious soul at the third degree. We're not there yet. We are in the cave experience, and the cave experience leading towards the cave of initiation. We are the hermit. We go it alone. We find out what we really think, and we let go of what does not serve the development of the higher powers in us so that those powers can serve the plan. So we're sacrificing the glory and the success, really? Okay, sacrificing the glory and the success, so important in our work in fifth pedal. You know, there we might become quite magnificent, really. DK sometimes talks about the heights of personality attainment, which can be achieved at this particular phase, but it's not enough because larger objectives are now seen, and we have to sort of look at what looked glorious and say, okay, yeah, glorious, but how does it measure up with the larger objective? And then we can become the critical. You know, there are those who are on stage. They're the Leonians, right? And they give performances, great or not great or whatever. And then there are those maybe long ago who have been through it, and they sit in the audience, and they are the critics. And they are much more cool about what's going on in the performance. Now, sometimes the critics actually are the ones aspiring to be the true Leo. But it's so interesting to see the theatrical people. They give their performance, and they wait for the newspaper the next night and see what the critics said. Well, this is the combination of Leo and Virgo, and it's like that. We give a great performance when we're really working in this fifth pedal and developing it, and later when our concentration is in the sixth, we critique the performance. We don't let ourselves get away with everything just because we did it, you know. Sometimes being a self is a justification for whatever you want to do, and it isn't that way from the six-petal perspective. So I think this is well said, retiring from the gaze of others in order to gaze at oneself in order to improve. So the fifth-petal people, you know, more seen than those in the six-petal perhaps. Maybe they're tired of performing a little bit. There was this marvelous movie once with Albert Finney. Or am I thinking of a, there was a fine composer, I think, by that name. Anyway, well, I have the man in front of me. He's such a great Leonian type. I think Finney is his last name, and English actor. And he's playing King Lear, you know, and he's played so many Lears that he just is becoming tired of performing. He even decides who shall be the next Cordelia, you know, his youngest daughter, on the basis of how much she weighs, because he has to carry her in the performance. So, you know, there comes a time when you become tired of performing as a personality. I mean, this is, you know, there are truly great artists who, in a way, perform as more than a personality, and the destiny of art is to really bring the soul expression through, okay? But I'm talking about the normal type of performance. Let's just say we always have to have objectivity upon our performance so that we can improve it. And if we lose ourselves and get totally carried away in the part, sometimes we produce the worst performances we've ever had, thinking they are the best, because we've lost the inner monitor or the inner critic. What about self-forgiveness? Do you want to be perfect? If you do, there may be egotism in it. Okay, so there is the way that some of the Virgo qualities revert to the Leo qualities. We have to not pick ourselves apart, but be constructively critical here so that we can be really useful in the plan. And if we tear ourselves to pieces, we're not going to be useful in the plan. So we have to be careful about balancing the need to do perfectly. And yet we're told, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, cultivate the perfection of the monad. But, you know, I would say in this way, all in good time. So have a sense of proportion about time and what it is really possible to accomplish. The ego ideal of being perfect may stop the expression of the good. So I've oftentimes said, you know, how often does the perfect kill the good? So we have to learn something to curtail our fanaticism, as is sometimes found in this pedal when there's a strong sixth ray in the nature. How to avoid such an overemphasis and accentuation that we actually kill out some of the better qualities. Sacrifice, though we do understand, will eventually lead to perfection. As Master Moria said, you know, when have you ever become less through sacrifice? It's a very arresting statement. You pause and you think about what he said. When have you ever become less through sacrifice? Because it's just the opposite of what we think. We say, oh, I have to give something away. Oh, I'm sacrifice this, sacrifice that, as if we're being reduced in some way. And we forget how we are growing in the larger sense through that act of sacrifice. So here we are being taught under Virgo humility, purification. We're learning to kneel. Capricorn, interestingly, comes in with kneeling, and we do have to kneel to take the first initiation. We have to be somewhat humbled through a sense of proportion. Well, Libra is involved in the first initiation, too, and that helps give us the sense of proportion. Anyway, to go into the cave, even some caves that have been created as initiation chambers, you may have to kneel, to stoop low. You know, it's the growth of practical humility here. And I imagine if in a fanatical way we crash on the rocks here, we're going to take ourselves in hand, apply the mind, and see that maybe our fanaticism is not goal fit, a term Master Moria uses. So as the values we have pursued are seen to be worthless, more will apply themselves to reality and really prepare. There may be a loss of material things prior to initiation. That loss takes place under Pluto and Vulcan. We've already discussed their relationship to Virgo and Pisces and to this pedal. So humanity is actually going through this. So that, friends, is, you know, that's a list of comments that we all made from various classes as we were thinking about these things. And now we have undergone the synthesis of pedal number 6. And I think, you know, we're coming in with a program that's about an hour and a half program, which is good. So this is the end of Egoic Lotus webinar commentary number 46, synthesis of 4, pedal 6, part 5. And now we'll begin something, either pedal 7, a synthesis for pedal 7, or we will review some of what is said in Treatise on Cosmic Fire in the 800s. There, you know, I sometimes hesitate to get too specifically into the cosmic fire. It tends to go so deep. And I have made commentaries on these things, but I think there may be a reason for us to do some of that and to review part of one of the commentaries that I've made, not the whole thing, but part of it, and then get on to that very important tier of petals, the petals of sacrifice, where the rods of initiation are applied, the rod of the Bodhisattva for petal 7 and 8, and the rod of the one initiator for petal number 9. Excuse me. Coughing a little here, maybe doing a little too much talking. Okay, well, I hope you can follow all this. I think so, and I hope it's beginning to gel in your consciousness. You know, we're on our way to creating pure reason, or in understanding from the perspective of inclusive reason, how all things fit together and aspect each other and interplay with each other and interact with each other, so that from any point within the field of interrelations, we can get to any other point quickly and intuitively. But of course, a lot of reasoning has to go into the process before we really can achieve that. So using reason to reach pure reason, and blending all these things together into the perception of a well integrated whole. This is the goal, and hopefully we're achieving something of that. So we're going to move on to beginning with program 47. So that's our next objective. And we'll see you then, whenever that may be, hopefully quite soon. Okay, bye-bye.